Thanks for tuning in for this podcast of Faith in Action presented by Catholic Radio Indy. If this programming is of value to you, please consider making a financial donation to support our efforts in producing these offerings. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org. And now, here's Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, great to be with you again.
Well, we are at that time of the year where Christmas is now behind us and the new year is just around the corner.
Yes.
And I guess maybe we should take a moment here just to remind people and to thank people, really, for participating in our Kroger Reward Program. If you're not familiar with how that works, it's very simple. You go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, click on the Kroger logo there, and basically you register your Kroger card, the little red card you've got on your in your wallet or your purse or on your keychain that you use to get all the bargains at Kroger. You know the one. Once you register that and put down Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, as your charity, that's all you do. You never worry about it again. Every time you go to Kroger, every time you buy almost anything at all, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage. It doesn't cost you anything, but it does amount to a fairly substantial amount of money for Catholic Radio. So to everyone who is participating in that, thank you very much. If you haven't participated yet, it's about the easiest way in the world to support an organization because, well, you buy groceries almost every week. And so you can do a tiny little little donation to Catholic Radio every week when you do your grocery shopping. So again, go to Catholic Radio Indy, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you'll see, I think it's in the center of the opening page there, there's a Kroger logo. Click on there, and it'll take just a couple minutes to get you going, and then you don't have to worry about it. You never have to do it again. Every time you shop at Kroger's, Catholic Radio will benefit.
Yeah, and I just shopping over the this New Year's and holidays season. I mean, I was able to buy a lot of stuff, and every time I did shopping, I felt really good about it because I knew I was signed up with Catholic Radio, so I felt great about that. So you gotta give back in the new year, right?
We appreciate that. We appreciate that very much.
Well, an organization that gives a lot and gives back is Catholic Charities, right? And with us today in studio is Teresa Chambly. She's the Director of Social Concerns for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and that is a office in Catholic Charities. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, it's a new office, right? It's been around, it's fairly new, right?
Yes, probably a little over a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what do you do, or what is the office really geared towards for social concerns? Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish in this new role.
Sure. So Social Concerns under Catholic Charities is more working directly with parishes. As many of us know, Catholic Charities does a lot of direct services.
Oh, yeah.
With closing, housing and food, and we do adoption services, things along those lines. But we need to have more of a connection within our parishes to help them be able to love their neighbor. And what does that mean? And so Social Concerns is helping them be able to do more ministry work within their parishes.
And we actually had Teresa on not too long ago, and you were talking about, was it a parish outreach thing? What was that conference
Sure.
that you guys had? Talk a little bit about that and what you did and how that went, since we tacked you last,
yeah.
You know, might as well do a recap on that, right?
Right. That was a parasocial ministry gathering. We had that, at the end of August.
Okay.
And it was really well received. We had about, about 200, over 200 people attend.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Especially for our first annual event.
It was. And matter of fact, the Archbishop was our keynote speaker, Archbishop Charles Thompson. And he did a fantastic job. And if you'd like to listen to his talk, it's actually online on our Catholic Charities Parasocial Ministry webpage. It's about a 30-minute talk, and he did a wonderful job of what we're called to do and what is Catholic social teaching, really. And so it was very well received, and we've just been working hard since then.
So the Archbishop always has such a friendly, down-to-earth way.
Yeah.
It's not... I don't want to say it's not preaching, but it really isn't preachy. It's down to earth, and when he's finished, you know what he said and you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I highly encourage people to go there and listen to the talk. It'll go faster than you think.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about an area of social concern, which is human trafficking. And people have a lot of misconceptions, or, you know, we don't really know how serious the problem is. What is human trafficking, and how is your office maybe looking to be involved in this, or how you're involved?
Sure. Human trafficking is very complex, and it is everywhere. So if you think that it's not here in Indianapolis, not with maybe even in your neighborhoods close to you, it is. Human trafficking is kind of defined in two separate ways. It could either be sex trafficking or labor trafficking. And it is a very lucrative business, unfortunately. And within Catholic Charities, really within the Archdiocese, we are starting a new human trafficking ministry. Right now, we're still in the steering committee, kind of evaluating what's the best approach for our diocese, what we can feasibly do. And a lot of it so far we're really engaging is going to be around education, about helping people be aware of that this is going on both locally and globally, what they can feasibly do within their own families, within their own parishes, to bring awareness and to do tangible things that will help them prevent human trafficking. And so right now we're still in the phase of evaluating the best ministry approach for our diocese. But human trafficking is the one of the top three industries of the world, in the sense of the top money makers are either drugs, arms, guns, and people.
Oh.
And right. And so people, it's not something that's, you know, you bring up in conversation when you're at a dinner party, but it happens and it is going on. For instance, on the east side where I live, there are several restaurants that are known for having labor trafficking within their restaurants.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Teresa Chambly. She's the Director of Social Concerns for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and that is part an office in Catholic Charities. We're talking about human trafficking. Can you talk about maybe the scope of the problem in terms of, I guess I think about this more as a global problem, that, you know, people are coming from other countries and being trafficked from other countries to other countries, maybe to the United States or other mm-hmm. places, but then it can also happen locally. So
right.
Do you want to talk about those two different
sure.
Aspects, really, I guess?
Sure. They're really all connected in many ways.
Okay.
So let's just say locally, sex trafficking is very prevalent. For instance, their USCCB, which is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they have a program called Become a Shepherd Program, and that's most likely the ministry that we'll be adopting here in the Archdiocese. And one of the resources that they have for parishes to become involved with is called SOAP, S-O-A-P, and it stands for Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution. And as a matter of fact, it was a couple years ago that I heard about this organization. It was at a Holy Rosary event where they have the spirituality and spaghetti mm-hmm. events, right. you know, yeah. during Lent.
A lot of good speakers.
That's right.
A lot of good food, right?
That's right. That's right.
We're all about the food, right?
I am too. And so it was there that I actually was able to hear about from the founder, Teresa Flores, who started this organization. And she brought it to everyone's attention that, for instance, let's say with locally here within, locally meaning the United States, our very large events like Super Bowls, you know, Indy 500s, the NASCAR events, the basketball, the big events, trafficking, people are brought state to state for sex trafficking, and most of them are minors. And
that's so awful when you think about it.
Oh, I
know.
It's a hidden thing. It's a hidden thing. And so it's really awful. And so SOAP was started by Teresa, who was a victim of human trafficking, who came from a suburban neighborhood, was trapped into human trafficking. Her family had no idea. If you ever get a chance to read her book, I highly recommend it.
Could you give us the title? Do you know what the title is off the top of your head?
No.
All right. Well.
But you could Google it, I'm sure.
What's her name again?
Teresa Flores.
Okay.
And the SOAP Project, actually, I think it's soapproject.org, but you might Google it. But SOAP is where, for instance, locally, what they do is they help educate people that work in the hospitality fields, that how to identify someone who looks suspicious that there might be being trafficked. And what it is they have little soap bars that have the National Human Trafficking Hotline on them, placed in the bathrooms, so that a victim of human trafficking, when that person goes to the restroom, they can take that soap and they can get that number. So that number is not really just right out in front of everyone. So the victim can, in some ways, you know, kind of do this kind of quietly and not get in trouble. And so the national hotline is there. But a big part of it is about education and being able to educate hospital workers and hotel workers, restaurant workers, of how do I identify someone with who is a victim of trafficking. Internationally, you know, one of the other agencies we have is Catholic Relief Services, that is our U.S. Catholic Church around the world. And we do a lot with human trafficking as well, not only with establishing places where people who are victims of trafficking can go and get rehabilitated and get counseling and be able to get their life back. But we do a lot of prevention and being able to go into many of the villages, rural areas where people are often trafficked, to be able to teach them how to identify a trafficker. Because most people who are trafficked by people that they know. And that's both domestically and internationally. And so if you think about with labor trafficking alone, even though you might think of international, you think of the sweatshops and things like that, but look at what we consume, chocolate, tea, coffee. Look at what we wear, the shoes and the clothes, the appliances in our house. Most likely one of those have been made by someone who is in labor trafficking.
Ooh, that's awful. So, well, when we come back, we're going to talk about, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Teresa about maybe how to recognize people that are trafficked. All right? Or the warning signs maybe, right?
Sure.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Maybe you know somebody who is homebound or in the hospital or in a nursing home. Maybe they'd like to listen to Catholic Radio Indy and hear the Mass every day, but can't receive the station where they are. That's been a problem, but here's a solution. If that person has a cell phone, they can simply dial a phone number and hear Catholic Radio whenever they want, 24 hours a day if they want. Please tell them about this service. The phone number is 605-562-9822. For phones with unlimited minutes, the call is free. It does not tie up their phone. They can still make and receive calls as they normally would. It's not an app. It works even on the oldest of cell phones, phones that can't download apps. This might be the perfect solution for someone that you know. Write down the number for them, or better yet, put it in your phone now. You can make it a speed dial. The number is 605-562-9822.
Please support the businesses that you hear as underwriters on this station.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. We're talking with Teresa Chambly, the Director of Social Concerns for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and she's also, that's an office of Catholic Charities. We're talking about human trafficking, and there are actually a lot of myths about human trafficking, and the USCCB identifies 10, and Teresa's going to talk about what some of these myths are.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that, there's a myth that only people who fall in the poverty scope of things are the individuals that are trafficked, whether that be labor trafficking or sex trafficking. And that is a myth. Anyone is susceptible to trafficking. Matter of fact, a great example is one that I used earlier. Teresa Flores, who started the SOAP Project, she was someone who was trapped in sex trafficking, and she came from a suburban neighborhood, and no one knew. She went to school every day. She went to church on Sunday. No one knew how she was trapped into sex trafficking. So it can really affect anyone.
And I want to know how that happened, but I have to read her book, right, to find that out.
Yeah, you're going to have to read her book. That's right.
I did check at the break. It is soapproject.com. So yes, if people want to get that book, right, go on, Teresa.
In order to be trafficked, another myth is that you are taken from another country to be trafficked, and that's not true as well. People who, or even in labor trafficking, can fall susceptible to it right here within their own community. And something that I mentioned earlier is that usually traffickers, they know the person that has recruited them into trafficking.
Like, is it a family member or is it, you know?
It could be a trusted, let's just say labor trafficking is a great example.
Okay.
Let's say a village in the Philippines.
Okay.
It is someone who is known within the village of the Philippines. It's someone that the family may have known. It could even sadly be a relative, a distant relative even. And so this person would coerce the individual and say, hey, you know, I have a job for you here in the United States. You know, I will pay for your airfare. I'll pay for your visa to be there. And then I'll even have extra money for that you can send home to your family. So the family is all just kind of buys this deal, mm-hmm, that is given to them.
Hook, line, and sinker. Because, you know, line, think, why not?
Right.
Let's go to the United States,
right,
and send some money back to the family.
That's right. And this is someone that they knew within their village. And so they go to the United States. Here they are now being trafficked into labor trafficking or sex trafficking, or it could be both. For instance, massage parlors are very known for their not only labor trafficking, but sex trafficking. And they are now here, and when they get here, the story is very different. Their visa's taken away, it's expired. They are forced to live in subhuman conditions, perhaps, or maybe they just, they're threatened that if they ever, the shame of what they're doing, they could be said that, we'll tell your family back in the Philippines, and now your family will be ostracized, or their family is threatened that if you tell anyone, then, you know, your family will be harmed. So it becomes this horrible mind game that they play with individuals.
And you're in a foreign country.
That's
you
right.
You don't know anybody. You have no, you don't even, maybe even know the language.
That's right. And that what happens is that they will take your passport and your visa immediately. Your visa expires, and then you are now basically here illegally. And so there's that whole threat as well of, you know, that they let the individual know that there's a lot of horrible things that will happen here in the United States because you're here illegally. So it's really just this mind game. They're groomed to just believe whatever this person is telling them.
Now, what sort of industries is labor trafficking?
That's a great question.
With?
Right. So migrant workers, domestic services, restaurants, healthcare industries. Let's see. Gosh, there's on the usccb.org, if you search human trafficking, that site will actually give you a lot more industries that construction, manufacturing.
I always think of like maybe restaurants and stuff like
sure.
that. Is that one too?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, there's restaurants right here in our city of Indianapolis and Carmel and Greenwood that individuals are trafficked, and it's known, and the police even know it. But unfortunately, labor trafficking is one of the hardest things to prosecute because the victims often will not come forward. And with labor trafficking, because there's a mind game. They felt like because I did this willingly, I came from my country, this is my fault. And so they will not come forward and prosecute and testify against their trafficker.
What about some other myths, common myths that we might want to know about?
Well, you know, lots of times we have this picture because it's kind of portrayed on the television that people who are trafficked live in basements, and sometimes they do, unfortunately, but they're in chains. And, you know, people who are trafficked walk around amongst us all the time, and we just don't know their story. So I think it's really important that people really do their research on trafficking. Go to usccb.org. Look at the different myths that are located there. There are different organizations within the city as well that help those who are victims. And really do your research, because I think what happens is people get their view of what human trafficking is from drama series on television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to dramatize it, and it's not going to give you the true factual information of how prevalent human trafficking is and just what goes on behind it.
Sure. Now, how is it organized? You mentioned kind of the human traffic industry. Is it a kind of a cottage industry where a small individual controls, brings 8 or 10 people in illegally, and or is it bigger with hundreds of people? Or
yeah, it could be. It could be both. So, human trafficking is often very gang related, and it could be just sometimes the fronts that we see for traffickers is a staffing agency, or it could just be someone who's really wants to make some money and they are trafficking people from their home country. And they're bringing people in. So it could be, you know, those 10, 15 people that kind of are underneath them. So it could really be both. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if someone listening right now was maybe interested in getting some more information or maybe trying to start something at their parish, what kind of advice or suggestions would you give them as a starting point?
Sure. So I mentioned that we're going to be starting up a new ministry within the Archdiocese of an anti-trafficking ministry. We're kind of in the phase right now of looking at what is the most feasible thing that we can do within the diocese. But a large part of it is about education. So parishes can do a lot of different things. One, they can, go to the usccb.org and Google Become a Shepherd program. And it's going to have a lot of tangible things that parishes can do and activities.
Say that again. What's that program called?
Become a Shepherd.
Become a Shepherd. Okay, so you go to usccb.org.
Right, and you can go in the search engine and do anti-trafficking or human trafficking, and that program will come up for you.
Okay.
Yes. So some of the tangible things people can do, they can do a clothing drive for some of the local organizations that are right here in the city that are on the front lines of helping those who are trafficked, both labor and sex trafficking. There's backpack programs where a lot of the people who are rescued, they're given a backpack of essentials, hygiene products and clothing and things. There's also, if you would like to do, for instance, St. Francis and Clare Parish on the south side of Indianapolis, they did something that I thought was really neat a couple years ago, and they've done it a couple times since then. They had a Catholic Relief Services fair trade sale, so they brought recognition to things that we can buy that are fair trade, meaning people are not in trafficking. People are earning a just wage. It's a wonderful program. You can go to crs.org to learn more about that. And then at the same time, they had a fashion show from an organization that is based, it's a store that's based out of Franklin, Indiana, where all of the clothing is from women who have been rescued from human trafficking. And I'm going to say this wrong, but I think it was from Cambodia or something along those lines, but you can certainly Google that as well. But they do, and so they had a fashion show. So they kind of did both the local and the international, and I thought that was a great way to bring awareness. But who doesn't like to shop? And then shop for a good reason, knowing that what they're shopping for, they're helping other individuals through that too.
Now Teresa, when someone is identified as being involved in human traffic and rescued from that, where do they go then, and what sort of help is available to them?
Yeah, there's several different agencies around the city, two that I know that are very reputable, that we're not affiliated with within the Catholic Church, but I would recommend them as Ascent 121, and then there's the Hope Center. It's a very complex process, the rehabilitation, because one, the person who is a victim of trafficking, they have to want to be able to be rescued from this, and there's so much mind games that go on with these poor individuals, and so there are places you can go. But one thing I do want to mention is there's a hotline. So if you suspect someone is being trafficked, you can call the hotline, or you can call 911, our police. For instance, I'm more familiar with our IMPD here in Marion County, that they do have a trafficking task force, and so they are trained on how to handle these types of situations.
But so for instance, if you know Jim or I or you saw a person that we thought kind of looked suspicious, like maybe this person was being trafficked or, you know,
right.
And it could even be someone in high school or.
That's right.
And that you wouldn't guess. What would you do? Call one of these numbers?
You can call 911, like I mentioned, because there is a task force. You can call the hotline, National Trafficking Hotline, which is nationwide. It's 1-888-373-7888. Or you can even text Be Free, which is 233-733. And there are people that immediately know how to handle those types of situations. But one thing I do really want to mention is that is not to get involved in that situation. For instance, let's say you suspect someone, particularly, like I mentioned, a lot of people who are trafficked are under the age of 18. Sometimes we just want to be the rescuer and we want to rescue that individual. Do not do that. Call these numbers because, one, you could put that person's life in danger. You do not know who is watching them. And not only that, but you put your own life in danger.
That's a good point because, right. You know, a lot I'd be the type like, hey, come on, with me, you know, just let's get out of here.
That's
you know?
Right. Hop in the car. We're speeding away.
We're out of here.
That's right. Because it's such a complex issue. It is really, really a complex thing. Even though human trafficking is illegal everywhere in the world, we have more people who are trafficked today than we ever had in human history.
That's amazing. So what do you hope to accomplish in your office?
So is awareness.
Okay.
I think, you know, we've heard the term human trafficking. We know it goes on, but it doesn't go on here, right? But it does. And it's awareness. It's about things that you tangibly can do, each and every single one of us, to make a difference. It is about being able to identify it. It's about being a voice for those who are voiceless. So, there's a lot of things that, you know, awareness. Sometimes it's just that simple awareness. So that way when you're in a conversation with someone else and they're bringing up sometimes those common myths about trafficking, you can say, you know what, I have some information for you.
So. And if you would give that that resource website again where people should start in terms of learning about human trafficking?
Sure. It's usccb.org. In the search section, just put in anti-trafficking or human trafficking, and it'll bring up the webpage for you.
My guest today has been Teresa Chambly. She's the Director of Social Concerns for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis in the Office of Catholic Charities. Thanks
now,
so much,
now,
Teresa.
Are you available to maybe speak to parishes or consult with somebody at a parish who would be wanting to know more about this or setting up a program in their parish?
Absolutely. So two parts to that question of, yes, I am available to speak, or I can find someone who can speak for any parish. And we've had actually parishes that have had people come in and kind of give a talk to their social concerns or pro-life group. Second, I forgot the second part of your question.
whether you can help them.
That's right. So as soon as we can help establish the Become a Shepherd program within your parish as well.
Okay. That sounds great.
And to get in touch with you again, the easiest way to talk to you?
So you can email me at tchambly@archindy.org. tchambley at archindy.org.
Teresa, thanks so much for being our guest today. God bless
you.
Thank
you. The program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.